Welcome, everyone, to episode 48 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Lynn.
And this is Stephanie.
And this is Josh.
Maybe we got to work that out, huh?
We will.
Hey, everyone, we're back. And we are definitely going to spend most of this episode talking about the premiere episode of season 3's True Blood. So excited. I just wanted to make a quick and big announcement. Wanted to welcome Miss Stephanie Chu as part of the Bike Club crew officially.
Woohoo!
Yay! Thank you for having me. I missed you guys the last couple of weeks.
I know, no. We missed you too. We were just, we were just talking about all crazy vampire stories that we would have put your input on.
Yeah, but now I'm back and I'm back for good.
So, all right.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, totally. We're so excited for you to join our crew. So she's going to be part of our show now, everybody. So send in the love. I know you guys were all excited to hear every time she was on the show. So now it's official. Yay!
Yay!
Bio and picture and everything on the website. All right, before we get started, this is Bike Club Show. BikeClubShow.com is our website. Our email is BikeClubShow@gmail.com, and we are also on Twitter at Bike Club Show. Well, I have some wine. I know, Stephanie, you have some wine, and Lynn, you also have some wine. We're all in different places, so we have like three different wines to share. Stephanie, our newest member, why don't you go first?
Oh, I've been on, what, three times, and I've already got a repeat one. I just opened up a new bottle of Charles Schwab.
Yes, the famous Charles Schwab.
It's from the same box as the last bottle, but as you'll see on my bio, that's going to be on the website soon. I do love myself some Charles Schwab, so.
No shame in that. You know what? Yeah. If you get to plug whatever wine you want to plug. That's
cool. Sure. I mean, it's $2 a bottle. Why not?
Okay. So that was what? Four fangs? Did you give it?
I gave it a middle of the road 3.5, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Lynn, do you want to go?
I don't really have a I don't know where it's from, actually. It's La Terra. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon. I had a glass, a full glass, which I really appreciated the bartender pouring full. I'm in LA right now, so at the hotel I had a glass of wine before the recording, and he said that it was quite interesting. I know a lot of places they do this now. A lot of them, a lot of companies, they buy grapes and then they make their own wine. So like the process is different. So I guess this is from that. I just know it's La Terra, and it was good. I give it like 3 fangs. It's pretty much pretty smooth and was pretty easy to drink. But I don't have any details whatsoever. It just said Cabernet Sauvignon, California.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you give it?
Oh, 3 fangs.
3 fangs. Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. I am drinking a half bottle of, oh Lord, this isn't French. Okay.
Come on, give us the French.
Le Violet. No, I bought a half bottle of this.
Oh, okay.
So I split it with Tom. Okay. Le Violet Côte d'Iron Moulinard.
That sounded a little Spanish.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, you're such a good friend. Okay. So, Rhone Valley wine from France, and it's a 2007. I'll have a little picture of it. It is dark. It's spicy, yet I feel like there's some chocolatey flavors in there as well. It's very, very good. I think this half bottle was kind of expensive. I think it was like $11 or $12 for a half bottle. It's one of those, like, you know, expensive wines and just got a half bottle of.
Wow,
I would give this
nice.
I would give this 4 fangs for sure.
Well, tasty.
Well, where did you get it? Did you mention that?
I got it at Whole Foods.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Their wine section at Whole Foods, and I love wine, but sometimes between myself and Tom, we can't finish a whole bottle. I know we're weak.
What?
But, I know. So, not in like one sitting sometimes, you know. Sometimes I just want that one glass. I don't want any more, you know. But sometimes I want wine like 3 or 4 times a week, but I don't want the same wine. Whatever. Anyway, so mm-hmm. we get half bottles every once in a while, and it's this one was good. This one's delicious. So, Le Violet Côte de Rhône. There you go. 4 fangs from me.
Very nice.
Okay, I know everybody wants us to get to True Blood, but before that, we do have a little bit of other important news in the Twilight universe. So let's get into the news. Okay, it's something big that happened since our last recording. It is official. Breaking Dawn is going to be 2 films. I'm not surprised. Are you guys surprised? I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
I'm quite happy. I didn't want them to mush everything into one movie too much.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot in the story. You know, who knows? We should make bets now where they're going to split it. I think The Birth would be a good section to, you know, to split it. What do you guys think?
I think that's good area.
There's a lot that happens after the birth anyways. You know, I mean, Bella becomes a vampire. That's going to be huge. And then all those international vampires come. So
yeah, that is a good spot for them to split it, because everyone's going to be, you know, in anticipation of what, you know, the baby / vampire / human looks like.
I know. Yeah, the half breed.
So. Yeah. I don't know what to call her.
I don't know. I don't either. But they say half vampire, they had a specific term. Twihards, help us out. I know that there's a specific term that they called it. It was like, remember the
vampire?
No. There was like that half human, half vampire at the end of the book, and they named. Well, anyways, I think there was a name, and I'm sure somebody is going to jump in and say, "You guys, it was this." So please email us what that is, because I can't think of it off the top of my head. I might IMDb during our discussion, but anyways. also, TwiCon was this past weekend, the big LA TwiCon that Rob, Kristen, and Taylor attended. And there was a ton. This is where they did their press junket. So Access Hollywood, Extra, MTV, everybody started, you know, interviewing the cast. And I thought it was really interesting that in 2 different interviews that I saw, Rob said that he hasn't read Breaking Dawn. I'm kind of shocked.
Because my God, no way.
Not that
it's not bad, but he's described, you know, the Caesarean scene, you know, he's described certain things, but he hasn't read. And I know it must be just because people told him, you know, but I'm really surprised that he hadn't read Breaking Dawn. I know that when Twilight came out, he'd read the first 3, and I think Breaking Dawn had just come out right when they were filming Twilight. So I don't know. I guess he just didn't get to him. You know, I don't know.
I wonder if it's also because he's been really busy with all these movies. I mean, apparently he's getting ready to do another film, you know. Mm-hmm. And then after the shooting of Eclipse, didn't he do Remember Me?
No, that was before. He did Bellamy after Eclipse.
Oh, okay, right.
Now he's doing this movie with Reese Witherspoon. I'm like, I know. Wow. Water for Elephants. So
yeah. Oh, they are doing that. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. I read this book.
I know.
I have the book and I haven't finished reading it. Okay, good to know. Okay.
Anyways, I think he also said that he didn't plan to not read it. It just, you know, he didn't read it. He's just been super busy, like you said, Lynn. So
yeah,
shouldn't get too mad at Rob for not reading.
No, we'll give him.
He's gonna have to read it now. I mean,
yes.
Apparently, he said he has a month between this movie that he's shooting now and Breaking Dawn. So there you go. He'll read it in a weekend. It's not going to take that long.
Yeah, it's not a long read. We finished it in a pretty fast, you know, time. So
he's got to know what Edward's doing. You know.
Yeah.
All the conflict and stuff like that. But also, I wanted to play this clip from MTV, an interview with Rob about a particular scene that we're all anticipating in Eclipse.
Having seen the film now, do you have, as a fan and a participant, have a favorite moment in the film, favorite scene?
It's weird, because I saw an earlier cut, and I liked what happened in the tenth scene when I saw it, but we reshot it, so I'm not sure what the new one's like. Yeah, so maybe on the DVD.
Then your actual favorite scene will emerge.
They'll have the old tent scene.
Do you know what the difference was? What the?
It's just the staging was different. I think they tried to make it more like erotic.
All right, so that was pretty big news that Rob said that they redid the tent scene. And, you know, we were all speculating before, what did they reshoot? What was the pickup shots? Well, apparently the tent scene, and he gave it away.
Oh. Probably trying to up the heat factor.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I want it to be more erotic. And like the boys started giggling like little girls. It was pretty cute. I thought it was
cute. Yes.
Maybe this is in preparation for Breaking Dawn, you know, since we're anticipating, you know, more, potential graphic scenes, you know, and
well,
there was discussion about possible R rating, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, that was a pretty important scene. So if they felt like they didn't have it, then I'm glad that they redid it. You know.
Yes.
So because that a lot of people are waiting for that scene. So it better be good.
Yeah, Rob seems quite giddy about talking about it. So I'm pretty sure that the reshoot is going to be worth it. I think.
Yeah. I think so too. I just thought that was interesting, you know?
To continue the Twilight theme, so there's an article in LA Times blogs from LA Times. So it's LA Times blogs.latimes.com. Okay, got a little confused. So there's an article with an interview with Melissa Rosenberg about the whole Breaking Dawn thing. So it sounds like the Breaking Dawn, I know we talked about potentially like it's going to be more graphic, you know, especially like the birth scene we talked about earlier. But Rosenberg, she says that she actually doesn't want to so what does it say here? Okay, it says here, for me it actually more interesting to not see it, like the childbirth, the gore, the guts, and the sex. You know, you can do childbirth without seeing childbirth. It doesn't mean it's any less evocative of an experience. So I guess we're not gonna see too much graphics.
Bad.
Yeah.
I think I mean, in the book, it was just such a big part of the book, how hard it was for, you know, Bella to be on that table and like Jacob and Edward to both be there, you know, trying to get her through it and get the baby out. I don't know. And it was like the whole part where she, you know, jumped off the table and became a vampire, right?
Right.
Like, are they really going to skip over that? That's a little, I don't know.
I think they're going to maybe do an audio.
I kind of feel like they can do it in a clever way where there could be just maybe Edward's reaction, you know, like you see the visual of him, but then like the audio part of it, you hear maybe the pain, the all that, the sound of I guess, childbirth. I don't know what's involved. With that.
That's a screaming.
Maybe then you can imagine it, you know? Oh,
yeah.
It's just screaming. Okay. Well, I guess you can picture it in your head, like maybe a vampire and human childbirth is even more painful. Well, maybe that's a way. I don't want them to totally exclude that. You know?
Oh yeah, no, they gotta. I mean, she's gonna be on that table. We gotta see some blood. I mean, come on. I know that they don't want it to be R-rated, but I mean, there's also the issue of them, you know, and consummating their marriage too. I mean, how far are they gonna go with that if they want to keep a PG rating?
That's how babies are made.
I know.
Yes.
So
fade to black.
God, that would be so disappointing. Everybody's waiting for that. I'm waiting for. Oh God, you know, like he gets into the water and then she gets into the water and then,
oh
you know,
God.
You know, how many times have we all read, I've read that scene so many times, the Isle Esme scene and then the pillows and, you know, the headboard being all that stuff. So, I mean, a lot of it is inferred. And I thought she wrote it in a way that was suggestive, but not pornographic. You know what I mean? Like, I think Sookie Stackhouse books are a lot more
explicit,
R-rated, let's say, than the Twilight books. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see some skin. You know, let's bring it. These, you know, she's becoming a woman. So, you know, I hope they don't have to hide. But maybe it'll be for the DVD if that needs to be in the cutting room floor. I don't know.
Well, it's a good article. So, yeah, check it out. And also, I guess they're starting pre-production July 1st. And both films will be back-to-back. I guess they're slated to film back-to-back at the start of October. That's pretty soon. Wow, good job.
And like 6 months of shooting back-to-back. So
That's awesome.
Bill Condon's going to direct both, so... Good luck. I mean, I'm excited. I can't wait. So 2011, we'll see the first half. all right. And congrats to Kristen and Robert, for being nominated for the Teen Choice Awards. So we'll have a link to all of the nominees. And that also includes Anna Paquin and Ryan Kwanten, which I'm like, wow, a lot of teens are watching True Blood, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Being nominated for the True Blood Award or for the Teen Choice Award. I've had too much wine already.
No. And don't forget Nina Dobrev. She's also nominated. So.
Oh, yeah. She tweeted about it earlier today. I saw that. She's like, so go vote. Go to Teen Choice Awards. So she's all excited. Yay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get into a little bit of True Blood news. I discovered this blog this weekend, and I absolutely love it. It's babyvamp-jessica.com, and it's Jessica's blog, Jessica from True Blood. She is vlogging. She has videos, and they are the cutest thing in the world. And she has tons of comments on her videos, people responding to her. And just today, she posted a new thing about being frustrated about being a new vampire and Bill's not around, and she didn't know that she was going to cry blood. And then it's funny because I think she's wearing clothes that she wore in this episode that we're going to talk about soon. And she says, you know, God, the other night I had these shivers and I don't know what that means. You know, she doesn't know that Bill was calling her. Oh, my God, how funny. And now it's in this blog. So I think this is going to be really good. And another part of really great marketing with True Blood is that, you know, they're really delving into social networking. So, you know, not only do they have all these mini videos, these mini, you know, episodes and all these things that they have online, but now they've got the character Jessica blogging. I love it. Vlogging even. It's not even just blogging. She's video blogging.
Yeah.
So cute. So check that out and be one of the gazillion people who've already commented on the site.
Yeah, there's a really great video of her playing with the True Blood bottles.
Yes.
She's so bored. It's amazing. It is really cute. You should definitely check it out.
Oh, I like
subscribing.
I like the site she likes. 17 Magazine, The Realm of Redheads, Claire's, Hot Topic. And what do you find in Hot Topic? Twilight stuff.
Nice.
I love this blog. Okay, it's my new favorite blog out there. Jessica's blog.
In addition to Jessica's blog, there are also these Truebie and Newbie interviews that you can find on HBO.com. So there's Eric and Russell, who's the new king of Mississippi, the King Vampire Mississippi. So you have Alexander Skarsgård and Dennis O'Hare sit down. They chatted a little bit about his new role. And I think the title was... I totally forgot. It's in my head.
Like newbie? You know,
hazing. Like, it says hazing. Newbie hazing or something like that.
He was totally hazing him. He was totally hazing him.
Can't sit here at the lunch table, you know.
Can't look me in the eye.
You can't look me in the eye. That was awesome.
Right. No. And then you have also Lafayette and the new character, Jesus, his love interest. And also you have Sam and Tommy,
his brother.
About that, yep. Key and Elsie, we've heard a lot about them. They had very much a cute interaction, I thought. They talked about chemistry. They didn't do like a chemistry test or something.
Yeah.
but it seems like it's very natural. Like they didn't need to do one, you know? So I think whomever did casting, they did a great job in finding the connection, I guess, between the two characters.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that we haven't met any of the newbies yet. That in all of these interviews, I'm assuming they're going to be in episode two, but none of these people we have met yet in the first episode.
Well, we met Tommy.
Well, we sort of met. Yeah, we did, but he didn't admit that he was Tommy. But we'll get to.
Did we not meet the Majesty or the King?
No, we haven't met him yet.
Different. We haven't. That was from season one.
The Magistrate.
Yeah. So yeah, you can find this on HBO.com, and we'll provide the link as well.
Cool. All right. Why don't we just get into it? It's time. It's time for a recap of episode one, season three's True Blood, called Pack of Wolves.
When you came in, the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
So good to hear that song again and to see opening credits all over again. I mean, I was so excited and like watched the pre-show and, you know, I was like, oh, just get to it. And then even when they were recapping all of last season, I was like, oh, just get to it. I'm ready.
Well, I was a bit disappointed that it was only a 15-minute pre-show. I thought it was like half hour or something. So I was really I really wanted more. But then I was like, well, I guess it's 15 minutes of the show instead of like 30 minutes or something.
Yeah.
There's a lot of commercials too.
I know, for a lot of the new shows that they're gonna have. Yeah. So that's why I was like, oh, it's not just them kind of like talking, you know? No more of these really cool mini things. Yeah.
I did enjoy the red carpet. So.
The red carpet stuff was cool. Yeah, I like that. And just seeing the way they look. Yeah, they look so good. All right. So we pretty much pick up where we left off. And Sookie's running Bail? Running around. I mean, she basically spends the entire episode just like, will someone help me find Bail? Will you help me find Bail? Why is nobody helping me find Bail?
Yep.
She just kind of ran around. I mean, let's just go around. First impressions overall. Were you pretty happy with the first episode?
I was very happy with it. I mean, I think it starts, it kicks off the season really well. I watched the encore presentation or the HBO, you know, how they schedule it like a couple hours afterwards or whatever. So I watched it again, like maybe an hour or 2 hours after the West Coast showing. And, I was still just as excited watching it. So, loved it.
Yeah, I agree. I liked it a lot. I actually watched it with some friends on the West Coast time, and we actually had a couple boys join us, and they actually, yeah, I didn't expect that. I thought they would like just scoff at like, vampire shows, ha ha ha. But they actually really enjoyed it, and I think they're gonna watch again next week.
Oh, that's good.
Excellent.
Yeah,
there were some uncomfortable moments, but
yeah. True Blood is definitely a show that guys definitely are more, you know, admit that they'll watch. And I think it's more geared for an adult audience. And because of, you know, more of the adult themes in the show, guys are more apt to go for it, you know?
See boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And all right. Some of that.
Yeah, exactly. So Bill's gone. And poor Sookie's running around, like you mentioned, and no one really wants to help her. You know, we just see her constantly sort of in a panic all episode. Like, it's not, why don't you help me? Why don't you help me? And she really doesn't even get help from the town sheriff.
Ron, it was her. The man I'd be engaged to right now if I'd gotten a chance to say yes was kidnapped last night, and Kenya wouldn't even file a missing persons report.
Well, how the hell could she, Sookie, when the person that's missing ain't even a real person?
Okay, tell me you did not just say that, because if you did, I might have to forget that I was brought up to respect my elders. We are all supposed to respect our elders, and since Bill Compton's got about 100 years on you, I think he deserves at least a hint of your respect.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I know. He's got at least 100 years on you.
I know.
Well, it's true. I mean, he is really the older person, so, you know, she is dating a 173-year-old guy. Okay, we won't go there.
Yeah, let's that part.
All right, so yeah, I know some people don't like it, think that's really gross. Okay, well, Bill's gone and he's taken by the FU crew. I know you like that, right, Lynn?
Yes, I did. Although, yeah, no, totally. Although we can't say the actual words, but I'm sure people can figure it out. I just
go ahead.
Surprised by. I guess the crew that took him, you know, I guessed. I mean, I think also because we knew who was casted for what, pretty much was like, oh my gosh, the werewolves have, you know, kidnapped him. Why, you know?
Yeah. So, we
that
definitely
was really interesting.
Yeah. We definitely don't know why, but we also know that Eric was planning his own, you know, grab Bill Compton from the restaurant, but his people didn't get to him. So, who, you know, we still don't know. I suspect we're going to find out.
Yeah, so who's behind the werewolf kidnapping of Bill, you know, if it's not Eric? Because remember how we kind of guessed that potentially Eric was involved, you know,
right.
But now we know Eric's not, so.
Right. Hmm. And we know that Alan Ball is going to take at least he said that he's going to take a different route from who it was in the book. So now I'm really completely, like, confused, so.
No,
like,
me
I
too,
wonder,
because how does Alcee play into this? Because I remember seeing previews, which, I mean, I know that's kind of jumping ahead, but there was a Alcee saying, like, oh, Eric sent me to protect you or something like that.
Well, that's like the book, you know? I mean, that's definitely
right.
Like the book, but is it true? Yeah, I don't know.
How does it relate to this kind of this different storyline that Alan Ball is having, you know?
Right. I think different meaning he takes some deviations, but it seems like, you know, all the main characters or sort of the even just like the secondary characters are still coming into play, but their roles are a little different, I guess. I don't know. I mean, we see that with the queen, which we'll get to later, but
yes.
What I really want to know is, okay, so they had the silver on Bill and they were like sucking on him. You know, we see Bill in the car with the werewolves.
Oh,
and they're sucking his blood and getting high because, you know, he's got, you know, they're sucking the V blood.
Yes.
Okay. So he makes that comment that, you know, if you have any, if you're supposed to keep me alive, you're going to kill me if you keep doing this, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So they're driving. We see later and they're like playing around with deer or whatever. How did he overpower them? If he had the silver, doesn't the silver restrain him?
Right. So remember, the guy took off his gloves because he said something about, oh, the blood is getting my gloves dirty or something like that. So then that was like, oh, light bulb in Bill's head. So he somehow got the gloves. And then, because you notice how he had the gloves on?
Oh, he had the gloves.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
No problem.
So
that's because I watched it twice.
What's that?
Do you think he used the gloves to pull off the silver and then, like, killed those other guys in the back?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We missed that. I'm
going
to rewind that. Thank you.
Yeah, so he didn't show us exactly what he did, but he showed the guy, and I can't remember his name right now, but the supposed werewolf leader, he took off his gloves saying something about, like, the blood was getting it dirty. So he took it off. It was in his mouth. didn't show us exactly how Bill got it, got the gloves. But then as they get into the accident, the car accident.
He's wearing them?
Yeah, he's wearing them as he's crawling out of the car crash. So,
Tricky.
I know. So the other thing is, remember, I'm a little bit surprised, and I'm happy with this, actually, because it goes into the storyline perfectly, was the fact that the werewolves are getting high off of V, and you know how like in the other vampire, you know, myths and whatever, like they get sick by drinking vampire bloods or something like that. So I'm surprised that they actually don't have any, like they have a positive effect with sucking on vampire blood.
Yeah, I think I had a little, I mean, I didn't really, you know, connect the dots like you just did, but I felt like, whoa, these werewolves are drinking the vampire blood. That's kind of weird.
Right.
I mean, I felt kind of weird about it, but yeah.
Yeah, me too. There was, I mean, I don't care. I mean, I don't really care. I mean, I love how they're very masculine characters, right?
Uh-huh.
And yet they were very comfortable with their sexuality and you know, touching themselves, sharing.
So I think they were just so high that they were just addicted to the feeling, because one of the highly uncomfortable moments was when like the guy,
yes,
in the front seat was like, Give me a hit.
I know.
The only way you're going to get it is if you spit into his mouth. And I'm like,
right, right.
He actually did it.
And then I really think it's credit to the writers, because they addressed it not in, I mean, I don't think in a weird way. I think it's in the context of like, oh, hey, we're getting high. You do anything, you know, regardless of
how
you are. So I don't know. I really liked it. So.
Yeah, so, oh, man, Bill is, God, we saw a lot of shirtless men in this episode.
Oh, my
and
God.
We saw a lot of, yeah, and we'll get to Eric in a little bit, but.
Wait, one quick question. Did you kind of, so when the guy was in the front passenger seat, I was looking at him, and I kept thinking he's Alcee, because, you know, the hair, the beard. Do you think that was him, or it's someone else who kind of looks like him? Okay.
I think it was someone else that kind of looked like him. I'm pretty sure that wasn't him.
I know.
But
okay.
Now you're making me want to, I'm going to go back and watch.
Okay.
After.
Go back and look, because I watched it twice.
Let us know. Because I didn't feel like it was significant enough to be a lasting character.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sookie again, running around. Somebody help. Kenya won't help. Sheriff won't help. She goes to Jessica, who has her own issues,
yeah,
obviously.
She does.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Jessica. So Sookie shows up and says, is Bale here? She's like, no. And they go into the description of, you know, he asked her to marry, you know, hurt him, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Jessica was so sweet. She's like, oh, Sookie, really? And then, you know, she says, well, you know, it didn't happen that way. And da, da, da. And she's like, did you reject him? Like, she was so, like, offended for her maker. Like, wait, did you reject him? Like, you can't reject Bill? I thought that was really cute. But she has, like, her... You know, Sookie's coming in and saying, are you okay? And she's like, oh, fine. And she's got blood on her face. She's crying. Her tank top is like a split open, so you can see her bra. And, you know, I like the way she played it off. You know, oh, you know, hoy na, still having problems. So, you know, oh, it's hard, but I'm okay. I'm okay. Like the whole time she's like freaking out about the trucker that I guess she was just planning to suck his blood and then accidentally like overdrain the poor guy.
Yeah.
Oops, because no one told her what to do. I mean, this is just typical like Jessica not understanding, you know, how far she can go. And yeah, I like the fact that she was like, oh, maybe this will help. So she like bites herself and like pours her own blood in him. And I'm like, wait, in True Blood, there's this whole thing where the person has to be buried for a long time. And you know, I remember when she was made, you know, Bill was explaining, you know, all this stuff, you know, you have to be under the ground, blah, 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 blah. Like she didn't do any of this. So this guy is dead. Bill didn't teach her a thing.
No.
He didn't teach her anything.
I think he was planning to, but you know, now that this is, you know, he was obviously trying to figure out what kind of, you know, True Blood to give her. You know, that kind of thing. I think he, you know, his parenting was a little slow because he was not that he really wanted to be, you know, the teacher and the maker. But, you know, we had the main ad going on, you know.
Yeah, he had other things going on.
You know, of course, his priority is Sookie. So, you know, all that stuff. So anyways, I think he would have eventually gotten to it. But right now it's just kind of a mess. So,
uh-huh.
And then I don't know. Let's talk a little bit about let's jump a little bit to Jason and Andy, if we will, for a minute. Last time we saw Jason, you know, he had shot eggs.
Yes.
Not a great thing. But you know, I think we pick up again where we last left off. So Jason and Andy are, you know, becoming buddies, you know. And they're you know, helping each other out as best we can. And Andy totally covers for Jason. And so Andy visits Jason after Jason's pretty much broken down at his house, and they have a little conversation.
Now listen, Bud Dearborn's a good man, he's a good cop, but he is tired and he is old, and he don't see the holes like he used to. We are gonna get through this, so long as we both act like everything's perfectly normal.
I ain't even sure what normal is anymore.
Well, for you, normal's going out and getting tail, so I suggest you start there.
No, that's the old Jason. I want to be new Jason.
Well, when this thing blows over, you can go out and not get laid all you want to, but for now, you got to be the Jason Stackhouse everybody knows. So conscience off, dick on, and everything's going to be all right.
Fine.
Say it with me. Conscience off.
Conscience off.
Dick what?
Dick on.
And everything's
going to be all right.
Those are my favorite quotes of the whole show.
I know. I love them. Conscience off, dick on.
Yes. And in their southern twang.
I love that he's like, but I want to be the new Jason. You know? Like,
yeah. He's a little puppy, and this is such an unlikely bromance. Like,
it really is.
I still don't get it. Like, why they love each other so much. It's weird. Yeah,
you know, they bonded
over troubled times. Yeah.
You know, the Maynard thing, and you know, I don't know. Anyways,
so. There's so many holes in Andy's story that it's just like so obviously. Not what he said. I mean, his story is wrong, like clearly
when the bullet was shot from 25 feet away.
And of course in the TV show it'll be all right.
I mean, I'm kind of assuming the sheriff is just so tired with all the craziness that's been going on that he's just not even looking into that very far, but it is very unlikely.
Totally. Now, Jason later, you know, has got to be the old Jason that everybody knows.
Oh, my God.
Poor guy, you know, in the scene with the two girls in the bedroom, one of the naked scenes in the episode. We get to see his buttocks in the episode.
Yes. Oh, gosh. That was nice. Too.
Baby skin.
But, yeah.
He has waxed everything from neck down to, I don't know.
Yes.
But that scene, I mean, you know, normally Jason's just, you know, an animal. And here he's just like, I'm just, you know, you can tell he's just not into it. He's like
a little distracted by the bullet holes.
Yeah, a little distracted with the bullet holes and just, oh, man, I just felt for Jason a little bit, you know, like, God, he just. But it was his own dang fault, you know,
I mean,
he didn't have to shoot eggs, you know, but he didn't understand what was going on.
He was trying, and poor Hoyt was there with that.
Great when Hoyt was like, oh, hope to see you later, or whatever he said when the girls were leaving.
Like,
nice to meet you.
Yeah, the one girl was like, that guy in there is just so sad talking about his girlfriend. Which, by the way, I almost forgot about the telephone call between Hoyt and Jessica in the episode.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that telephone call where... he called her and, you know, they pretty much admitted that they, you know, missed each other. But then Jessica was just like, you know, it's just not a good time, click.
Yeah.
She was all saying like, I got a haircut for you and I don't like it.
Manly haircut. Well, I think eventually they'll get back together, but, you know, we got to keep them apart for a little bit. Otherwise, you know, happily ever after couples.
She's got
don't really
a dead possum under the house. To take
Yes. Got to take care of that dead possum first. It smells. okay, so I'm going to jump to Tara and her problems. Now, she is obviously all heartbroken, and I feel like we've returned to the Tara from season one, the really mad Tara. You know, as Sheriff Dearborn is interviewing Arlene, Tara gets a little pissed.
This ain't a goddamn beauty pageant.
Oh, shit.
The only man I ever loved was just zipped up in a bag. And you don't even have the decency to pretend you give a f***. I give a f***.
Tara.
but I don't know what I expect. Trash is as trash does.
I'm sorry you fell in love with the serial killer, all right? But honestly, who here hasn't?
Bitch, Ev wasn't no killer!
Tara, he confessed.
Miss Thornton, please. This is a murder investigation.
I don't care what he confessed to. He ain't responsible for it.
Oh, why? Because of society? Because of slavery?
Sweetheart.
You backwards, redneck!
I'm gonna take Tara over to Sookie's house. But if you wanna talk to her, you can meet us over there. And we gonna steal this tequila over here, but I doubt that surprised any of y'all. Come on.
Okay, so, you know, whenever Tara's in trouble, Lafayette is in full form. It is awesome. He was on this entire episode. So, you know, poor Tara, back to being sad. You know, her first meeting with Sookie is just insane when, you know, Sookie tells Tara that, you know, eggs came to her. And so now Tara blames her. And she was just, she kind of just went out of control.
She started beating on her.
Yeah, that was a little hard to watch, actually. And then later we see Tara trying to, you know, swallow some pills, and I don't know what to think. I mean,
crazy mama brought over that path, that I don't know what it was a priest or something.
That was a weird scene with the pastor.
Yeah.
And then she's trying to like hit on the pastor.
Yeah, and then
the mom.
That was really uncomfortable. And then as Tara was on her mama's lap, the mom was like, yeah, it's just going to be you and me now. And it sounded like really scary.
It was a little demented, yeah?
Yeah.
But I think Tara knew it. That's why she went and took those pills, because she was like, there's no way out of this.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like Tara's back into that dark road again.
Oh, totally.
No one is going to make her feel good right now. You know, I mean, maybe Lafayette will get to her eventually, but man, I feel like this whole episode was really just setting up like the more, I don't know, the bigger episodes, the more explosive episodes, you know, not that there wasn't anything explosive like Bill and the werewolves and, you know, the car rolling and, you know, him, you know, rolling out of that car. But, you know, I mean, I think a lot of this was just sort of like, remember, hey, these are where all your favorite characters are and what's going to happen this season, you know, kind of gearing up. Let's talk about Eric, right, Lynn?
Yes, I forgot about him. Okay, sure. Just kidding.
Sorry.
I already saw a fan site take a still shot of his little tush.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I have to say, I'm not as infatuated now. I have to be objective because I
You're let down?
Wait, did the... No, yeah, what happened?
No. I just, you know, feel like, you know, there are these new characters coming, so I have to make room for, you know, other people. So I want to make sure that I'm fair on everyone. So yeah, this is a new approach. So I shall see how the season, as season three proceeds. So
wow.
Yes. No. I was quite. I was quite impressed. Yet I also noticed he walked quite slowly toward
Sookie.
So I was
probably flexing.
I don't know what it was, but I don't know if it was a production thing or if it was like part of the storyline, or I don't know. Like,
it was just playing slow motion in your mind.
You were stretching out the moment.
Oh, okay.
I didn't notice it being slow, that's why. So.
I think I was focusing on it.
Yes, I think you were.
Intense concentration, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so.
Were you just watching? Were you like hoping the camera would pan down?
No. I did not think that at all. I just thought it was slowly.
Okay.
But, that could be just because I was focusing too hard. So.
Did you pause? Wait.
No, because I don't have a DVR.
That's right. Okay, sorry. Okay, we can accuse you of pausing and rewinding the scene.
No, unfortunately not. So, it was nice. I actually thought I thought his legs were going to be longer, but
now the truth comes out.
That was just...
It's the legs. The legs have broken the spell.
Look at that.
Now that it's been revealed, Lynn's like, oh, I can start looking at the other characters.
Yeah, well, Well, let's get back to the story.
Okay. Well, obviously, we're talking about the naked scene with Eric and Sookie running in there. One of the people that she, you know, is demanding information from. You know, I know, where were you at 11:05 p.m.? You know, yeah, he was like, I was here with her, and you know, she's like, fine. Then I think Lorena took him, and I want you to find her. You know, I mean, she was just like, and he's like, right, excellent theory. Okay. So we see him for the first time naked. And then, but really later, what was more important in his storyline was the fact that the magistrate comes into Fantasia with the queen of all people. And he is wondering, you know, why, you know, V is so prominently sold in this area. And, you know, I mean, I think they're just, you know, this is picking up from last season, and, you know, they're going to be in a little bit of trouble. And Miss Little Queenie there is broke. So, you know, Eric correctly thinks that the magistrate is onto them and that they need to, you know, they need to figure out what to do. But the queen is kind of just emotional about this whole thing. And, you know, they have a very interesting exchange.
Forgive me, but I don't feel the same sense of relief you do.
You don't think he believed us?
Not entirely, no.
Then I suggest you sell everything you have as soon as possible.
Excuse me?
The pigs at the IRS are breathing down my neck, and I need money now. Sell the blood at half price if you have to. I don't care what it takes. Just move the product and then cover our tracks.
All due respect, Your Highness. I fear you're not considering all the angles.
All due respect, Mr. Northman. I'm due a lot more respect than that. And I'm sorry to compromise your manhood like this, but hell hath no fury like a vampire queen broke. Move the blood.
It was a little shocking, the little scream. Whoa.
I know. I actually really liked it because I really thought that she presented herself as the queen with power. Like, compared to last season, I thought, you know, she was just this kind of like, oh, you know, the queen. We weren't that impressed with her performance, but mm-hmm. I'm actually looking forward to seeing more of her this season.
Yeah, I mean, she, I think we mentioned that at the end of last season too, when she finally showed her fangs and she showed some power. We're like, Oh, okay, good. Because otherwise she was just sort of this like brat who is just telling everybody what to do, you know, in a royal kind of way. And, you know, we didn't really see any backup to why she's queen at all. And here she is just like taking his cojones, you know, for lack of a better word.
It's kind of nice to see where her motives are coming from, though. It seems a little dry to me that the only reason why she's doing it is the IRS is breathing down her neck.
Well, yeah.
I don't quite believe that, but at the same time, I agree. I mean, I believe it because in the previous season, all she did was just kind of sit around the pool, you know, sit down, play, you know, board games, you know, live in the lavish life. Obviously doesn't have a job, you know, of course, but
exactly.
You know, she doesn't have income other than the V being sold.
So
it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, like how much she needs this money. And then, yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed, but her fangs were like super big.
Very long.
Oh my God. They were way longer.
That's
why they were long. But damn.
She is the queen. So bigger fangs.
Yeah, I guess a more powerful vampire, you get bigger fangs. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe is it because she's older? I'm not sure if she's older.
Yeah, that was my guess. It was like an age thing, like the fangs get longer and longer.
But we talked about this last season, and didn't we remember that Eric was like changed in the Viking times?
Yeah.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, yeah. I feel like was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's true. His should be longer if that's actually what's going
well,
on.
Well, I don't
her
remember.
Fangs.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when the queen was changed, though. So
right.
that's another question for our listeners.
I'm sure we'll learn more about her as the season goes on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as a result of this half price, you know, selling, you know, a V.
Oh, my God.
We get a nice little scene with Pam and Lafayette, who Pam shows up at the restaurant. You know, it's just kind of like, well, you got to sell everything. Well, let's hear this, probably my favorite exchange in the entire episode. Here we go.
Tomorrow.
Is there a problem?
No, Hooker. Look, I can't sell all this shit by tomorrow. I got a cousin in trouble. She needs it.
I don't know what it is about me that makes people think I want to hear their problems. Maybe I smile too much. Maybe I wear too much pink. But please remember, I can rip your throat out if I need to. And also know that I am not a hooker. That was a long, long time ago.
I...
Yeah? You picking up what I'm putting down?
I is.
Good. I'll be back tomorrow to pick up the money.
I is. That was probably my favorite scene.
Yeah, my favorite scene too.
Pam is so awesome. I mean,
did she look like a Stepford wife or something when she walked into what's her Sookie's house first? You know, I was
she did with her pink cardigan. True. That.
I mean, her blonde hair, you know, I know she's not, but just she, and then she had her purse on her arm, you know, looking all nice and somewhat conservative. Wow.
You know, and I agree with you guys that the queen is more threatening now and seems to be more regal and powerful, but the queen's threatening scene versus Pam's threatening scene. I mean, Pam wins.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I agree, too.
Yeah.
Lafayette is already just traumatized.
Oh, I know.
First place from last season.
Yeah.
Well, he had some really good lines in the episode to Tara's mom, you know, bitch, please, you know, all this stuff. I mean, both of them were.
No bridge building.
Yeah. Both of them were on point.
No bridge building.
Pam was the various looks that she had. She stood up to Eric, you know, too, which was great because earlier on she said, Eric, you're losing it. You know, you need to call the queen, you know, and he was just so angry. Didn't want to listen to her. But she held her own this entire episode. You know, I mean, she got called whenever Eric calls, you know, the shivering, you know, happens.
Do you remember that from before?
I don't remember.
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, we talked about that. We did not remember it from before. It seems like the first time that power has been introduced.
Usually we see, you know, Sookie or Eric or Bill, you know, sort of trying to communicate with her or somehow, you know what I mean? But we didn't necessarily get the whole shivering thing. So, that was kind of cool though. I like that.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Sam, but let's talk a little bit about the dream first.
Oh, yes.
Introduce uncomfortable scene number two.
I mean, I think we knew about this last season, but I was still waiting for it. And when it was starting to happen, I was like, this is a dreamer, but this is a dream. This is not real. This is a dream.
Yes.
But I'm glad they didn't gloss it over because we know that Sam drank a lot of Bill's blood. And, you know, the result are these sort of like sexual fantasies. We have yet to see Lafayette's fantasy with Eric. But, you know, I'm glad they didn't gloss it over. I'm really glad that they went for it. But it was awkward, you know, because it was the right setting, you know, sort of like Sam in his motel. And then Bill, you know, we knew that he was out of the car at this point and just kind of wandering and walking. So he kind of, it was kind of perfect in that way. So you're, you know, kind of led to believe that this could possibly be real, which
I was totally convinced that they were going to make out.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. Cause I forgot that they have this
connection.
Behavior when they drink milk from, or not milk, blood.
Empire milk is the best.
Vampire.
Same here initially. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought that they were gonna make out.
Gonna go all the way.
All I can say is both guys look good. You know, Bill looked really good in this episode to me. He didn't look so weird and pale.
Yeah, they've stopped doing the season two thing of making him look not so attractive. Like,
thank God. Yeah. Well, maybe it's because, you know, he's not with Sookie. So So Stephanie, our theory was that, you know, he was boyfriend material, so now he didn't have to look as good. He just needed to please Sookie, and he didn't look good to at least me. I was complaining about it all season last year. Like, why does Bill look crappy all year?
Well, I'm still not entirely convinced. I still think he always looks a little rough to me.
Yeah,
but I think he doesn't have the same, I don't know. His hair was weird last season, and this time, obviously, he's a little roughed up. But I think it looks a little bit better. I think they laid off the super pasty makeup on him. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy with that. All right, so Sam is looking for his family. You know, he finds out about the Mickens family. Nice little exchange with who I believe is his brother, Tommy, who didn't want to fess up that it was him. You know, I there's really not much to say about that other than, you know, he's just following him around, and I think we're going to find out more soon, and you know, whether or not the Mickens family is really crazy.
Yeah, and I think it sounds like they were told not to talk to Sam or not to have anything to do with him. You know, because that, you know, how Sam was following him, and then you kind of hear in the background that, you know, what happened? Oh, I couldn't hear everything, but it sounds like they were not happy with that.
Right.
So you see the preview with the gun pointing at
poor Sam
coming up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So question. So when Sam was looking for his family, did he actually find their house? Because there was this, I just remember there being this huge, huge mailbox. And he was looking at their bills, I think.
Yeah, he saw that
he was confirming the last name, that the guy was lying.
And so the mail on there said Mickens.
Oh,
and
so he was lying. The kid was lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Totally lying. That's his brother. So, there's not much to say about that, but we'll probably find out more coming up. And then at the end, I guess we should talk a little bit about Bill and just kind of like getting out of the car and then roaming, coming up to the house. I was a little shocked, you know, I was a little fearful for that old lady, mm-hmm. you know,
me but- too.
I was like, oh man, is he that hungry that he's just going to like kill her? Oh my God. Yeah. You know? But luckily I didn't see any marks on her neck. So maybe he took
a bite out of it.
Well, it must've been at her arm or something like that.
Oh,
and then
okay.
You know, I'm thinking that he grabbed another body part.
Right.
Oh, okay. You know?
And then glamored her to forget, you know?
Yeah, and he gave her money and then made her think that her son visited.
Right.
It was kind of sad and sweet.
I know.
But you know, like the real, like the way Bill really would have done it if they didn't want to have that dramatic possibility of him being evil is he would have glamored her first and then, and then bit her. Like I felt like they did that. They did his fangs coming out and him kind of lunging at her to like set up like Bill might be being really evil here, but he wasn't.
Poor lady could have had a heart attack or something.
Right.
I know.
Right.
I was thinking
she's carrying around an oxygen machine.
I know. Right. I was thinking she was really fragile, so he must have, you know, took care of her while feeding, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. Do you think Bill's going to be evil this season? Do you think there's a chance? I mean, in the books, this is kind of where he turns a little bit.
Well, I also saw a preview on, he's on the cell phone telling Sookie, I don't want to be found. Right. So, oh my gosh, I hope not.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. Those things because I think he's gonna do what he has to do. Like, there's probably reasons behind, what.
And I think it's always to protect Sookie.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Yeah.
But at the same time, if that means him being bad, he might have to do that.
I want to withhold my comments just because I don't know if you guys have read the books, but I read the books, and it's all going to make sense, I promise.
Well, no. I also think, because he asked the lady, like the old lady, where are we? And she said Mississippi. And then did you notice he kind of like, he is almost like something hit, like he realized something.
Yeah, he freaked out.
Yeah, so could be related.
Because of the werewolves?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was because of the werewolves or if he had a history in Mississippi.
I think it was both. I think he was acknowledging that he's in Mississippi, like, oh, I'm in Mississippi, and maybe that's how we're going to see the introduction of the king.
Right.
Russell,
yeah.
Russell. And then at the same time, he heard the howling, I think. So I think it was kind of like at the same time. So
yeah.
Making true. Us, you know, figure out what's going on.
Now,
hurry right after that.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. He did. And then the next thing you know, he's surrounded by wolves, right. Which that was pretty
cool. Loved it.
I'm so excited. And that. You know, of course, he ends and he's like, oh, I should warn you, I fed, you
know, fangs
come out. They're growling. He's got his fangs out, you know. I'm like, this is going to be really good. Now, I loved that post-mortem scene at the end with them behind the scenes with the wolves. You know, they're talking about how they have the hybrids and, you know, they were hand-fed. So they're, you know, they're pretty good. You know, animals, but you know, you give them the you know, the meat, the slab of bone and the meat, and you take it away and they're going to start growling, you know, because that's their food.
Well, I like how they gave us an introduction to wolves, like how they're actually loving animals.
Mm-hmm.
They're not mean and, you know, evil or whatever. And they've worked and they're actors, you know? So, and Alan Ball in the postmortem said he didn't want like a half man, half wolf type of thing.
Yeah.
He want to totally do CGI. And I would really appreciate that. I like how he went straight, like for the real thing, you know?
Yeah, me too. Me too. He didn't want to do the wolf man, you know?
You don't know. He said something like yeah.
Exactly.
And he said that, like, when they separate, when each of the wolves separate, they howl. So, I don't know. It's like, I want one. No, I don't. No, I know. But they made it seem like
they're so quite lovable.
We're going to name this episode.
Like, Alan Ball would be, you know, on camera and in the background on two sides of the screen, there was just this little black wolf just walking around with his tongue out.
Yeah.
Looking all cute. So, I guess I mean, he looks lovable.
We're going to name this episode Why Lynn Wants a Wolf. I like they show Stephen Moyer there meeting the wolf. You know, he's taking pictures and then he actually touched one of them and stuff. So he seemed more than happy to be in scenes with them and everything. So that was very cool.
And I like him more and more now too, because I don't know, he seems so real. But he too, I don't know what it is. Like, I love how he was interacting with wolves and he was actually interested. I love how the, I keep saying this, I want to work with them because they just seem they just enjoy every moment. Like, there's not the typical actors, and it's just not that stereotype, stereotypical actors and celebrities, and they just seem so down to earth and real, and it makes me love the show even more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up. Did we miss anything in this episode? I think we hit all of the the main.
The only thing I was curious about is, why was Bill calling Jessica? Do you think, was it to warn her?
To, I think he was just trying to call her, but he didn't teach her that part. He didn't.
I know
teach her that he could communicate with her because she didn't understand what was going on.
She was just like, I felt so sick.
Yeah.
quick question related. So Bill was trying to warn Jessica by sending her that shiver signal. And when Pam was at Sookie's house, she got the shiver too. She said, Eric's calling me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jessica was like, Jessica. I mean, did you guys really get why Eric was calling Pam?
Oh, I think he was just calling her, like beckoning her.
Yeah, he was just like, come home now.
Yeah.
Really?
And okay. I think that's pretty much the same with Bill, although, you know, in his case, he was trying to reach out. Like, maybe she would know that he was in trouble and would do something, but, you know, he didn't teach her that, so she doesn't understand her feelings, you know?
Okay.
And so Sookie put two and two together. When Pam shivered, she was like, wait, I bet Bill tried to call Jessica. So she went back to Jessica, you know, like, she got it, but, and then that's how she was able to feel her way to find the car, you know, she remembered.
Yeah, and I also think there's a sense of urgency, you know, maybe that's how it's used too. Like when it's very, like in those type of situations, like, you know, like I need help or whatever, you know, a warning.
Right. Because Pam, you know, in that scene with Sookie, was giving her money. And then she shivers. And then the next thing you see, she's talking to Lafayette. So my guess is that she went to Eric. Eric had that, you know, that conversation with the queen and then told Pam, you need to tell Lafayette to sell all that stuff for half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of like the timeline. It was a little like I had to go back and watch it, too. Again, I was like, the shivering. I don't understand, you know. And then when I the second time I was like, oh, right, because their makers are calling them. So it but Sookie puts
and I think. And it's probably faster than dialing a phone.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't remember they tossed out his cell phone, so he couldn't call Sookie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same with Eric and Pam, because, you know, he was furious at that time. So, they were running short on time, too, because they had to sell, like, in 24 hours or less.
Yeah. Yeah, Eric was... you know.
Oh, I love the part where, and I think this is like how, like, he's such a funny guy, character and actor. Like, talking to someone, like, where, you know, where is Bill? You can't find him. And then he took off his Bluetooth headphone and held it and shouted into it. Like, this little thing in between his fingers as he's holding it and he's shouting into it. I just thought that was so funny. Like, and then he puts it back and, you know, try to, you know, say,
try to calm down.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was so funny. It was, it's like, I know he was furious, but it was a funny moment.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, it was a great premiere. I loved it.
Yeah. Good premiere. I'm very excited for more. I'm waiting for Alcy. I can't wait for him to show up. Sexy werewolf. Can't wait. Yeah. So episode two, we're in full gear, 12 episodes this season. Episode two is next week and we'll have another recap. Any other thoughts on the episode, guys?
No, just can't wait till next Sunday.
Yay.
Excited.
All right. We've had a full episode. I think we're going to skip emails this week and we'll catch up on them. Hopefully next week. We had a few, submissions and, I think again, super excited. We have a new season of True Blood, everybody. This is amazing. Woo-hoo. So excited.
Yay.
And what a way to open the season with a lot of, you know, shirtless men and buttocks for the ladies. Sorry.
I know.
There was stuff for the ladies, for the men, too.
Yeah. Did we have two? So we have two of each. Two buttocks and two topless men. Nice.
We had four, really. I mean, you count Eric, Jason, Sam, and Bill.
Okay. Oh, that's right. And there were some for the lady, for the guys too.
Yeah, there were three. There were three pairs of breasts. So
yeah, you know. The girls with the bull heads and the ones in chains.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yes, yes.
It's all fair.
Wait a minute. So something doesn't seem right.
Good balance.
It's equal opportunity.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that about does it for this episode of Bike Club. Just a reminder, our website is bikeclubshow.com and you can email us. Email us your thoughts on episode one and what you think is going to happen the rest of the season. bikeclubshow@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Twitter @bikeclubshow. Yeah, I promise to get back to emails next week. We just, you know, have a lot. We're very excited about season one of True Blood. So. Episode one, season three of True Blood. All right. Well, until next time, thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.